Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Coming up on TMS, the Duke of Earl of Sandwich.
Doves are pigeons too.
Titillating titanium talk.
If I could just use your chicken.
Chink in the armor, lovingly.
Mr. and Mrs. Coitus.
Come together right now. Beauty queens.
Males don't have the nice round butt.
The black crystal.
Hacksaw Gerrera.
His taekwondo is better than your taekwondo.
Do spiders have brains? Because I really wanted to know.
I can smell the churros.
Brazing with Bill.
Why spiders are trying to kill you with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Why do people play rock, paper, scissors? It's a stupid, stupid game. It does not work. The logic is really not right.
The following scene is a simulation. But it might have happened.
The Morning Stream. Where can I hook up my modem?
Good morning and welcome to TMS for Tuesday, November 9th, 8th, rather 8th. It's the 8th, 2022.
It is the 8th. Oh, thank God, because yeah. Otherwise I'd be like, oh no, I'm late.
I was just looking at Wednesday on my calendar here and I left it up like sure. A dumbass. Speaking of which, Brian, it's his last broadcast day this week. He'll be gone for the next 2 days.
It sounds so ominous.
It does sound ominous. He's coming back. Don't worry. He'll be back Monday.
I'll be back here on Friday for a little
couch
party.
Even Friday. Right, exactly. And film sack and all that. So he's not really, really leaving. He just isn't going to be on TMS for 2 days, but it's fine. He'll be getting Kyber crystals and concerting.
Watching a concert, maybe having a drink with Render.
Yeah, why not? Seemed like Randy was down to clown.
The time that I tried to get a reservation at Jazz Kitchen and
I moved Catwoman.
Yeah, he moved Catwoman is what he did.
That's right.
Yeah, that'll be fun. It's always good to...
It'll be fun. It's a, it's a fun part of the country to go to, even though I'm not going to set foot in... Disneyland proper.
Yeah.
Sadly, it'll be very difficult to be on the outside of that fence looking in as we walk through downtown Disney, be like, oh, there's Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh, there's Space Mountain. Oh, I can smell the churros. Oh, there's Pirates of the Caribbean.
What's the deal? So how come? So Disney, downtown Disney always confused me a little bit. It's meant to be available to everybody, right? You don't have to have a ticket.
To everybody, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There was never a time where that was locked off, right?
Never a time. Okay. Never a time. The only thing they've got are, security checkpoints at each end so that you're not bringing anything dangerous into downtown Disney vis-a-vis Disneyland. Because basically it's the security checkpoint for Disneyland and DCA as well.
Right, because if you're in Disney, you just walk right over there. It's no big deal.
Right, exactly.
So they gotta keep the riffraff out of there. I get it. Right, understand.
Yeah, but there's more freaking Earl of Sandwich, which was my go-to. That was such a great restaurant there in downtown Disney.
Yeah, what happened there? They just couldn't cut it?
Couldn't cut it. I don't even know. It's been such a long time since I've been in Planet Hollywood in Vegas, which I guess isn't Planet Hollywood anymore. It's back to being the Aladdin.
Is it?
Isn't it? Wait a minute. Now I'm confused.
I didn't know that. Is that that's true?
Is it?
That'd be amazing.
What? Hold on a second.
Tropicana. I know Tropicana went to a different name or something. Didn't it?
No, Tropicana is still Tropicana.
Is it? that's where the
somebody help me out here. Am I forgetting? Like, is Planet Hollywood? I know that used to be the Aladdin, and I thought they renamed it back. Is what's happening, Scott, to my Vegas memory?
I don't know.
What the heck?
That means you've been away from Vegas too long. You got to get back there.
It is still Planet Hollywood, right? It is. Okay. All right. Good. That's right. It was New Aladdin from 2000 to 2007. It was Aladdin, regular original flavor Aladdin before then.
Vanilla then Aladdin. Yeah.
And still hasn't. I don't know why I was thinking. Because it is such a stupid Planet Hollywood. No, Aladdin. Way better name for that casino. I don't care.
I agree.
Anyway.
I agree. I didn't know about the era where it was called New Aladdin. That's news to me. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had no idea.
I don't know if it was actually, like, I don't think they had the word new on the sign. I think it was just Aladdin, but it was referred to as New Aladdin.
Just need Aladdin Classic and we're all set.
Right? Original flavor.
Yeah.
Regardless, there was an Earl of Sandwich in there. And I don't know if there is still an Earl of Sandwich in Planet Hollywood, but it was my number one reason to go to the Planet Hollywood casino because I wouldn't usually stay there.
No.
It wouldn't be no other reason for me to go to Planet Hollywood except for going to Earl of Sandwich.
Yeah. The Earl, maybe the Earl was promoted to a Duke of Sandwich somewhere. Maybe.
Maybe.
Is that the succession? You go to Duke?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Is Duke above Earl?
I don't know. Is Zoe here?
I know there was a Duke of Earl, but that was just a song from the 50s.
I think there was a Duke of Sandwich or an actual Earl of Sandwich. Like the place was called Sandwich, right? Like an old British something. Place.
Yes.
The origin of the term.
The old burg.
Yeah. The old burg.
Sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, don't want to call it a city.
It's the only
town.
It's
the
only,
township of Sandwich.
It's the only burg or township I'd want to go to. Is Sandwich.
Yeah.
Why would you go anywhere else? Yeah. Man, I love a good sandwich.
I do love a good sandwich.
Oh, it's so good. All right. Hey, you guys, I thought we'd do some clearing house today at the top of the show.
Oh, good.
Blow out some old product. Okay.
it's going cheap, everybody. Yeah. Grab it now.
Yeah, get it now while the getting's good. We just have a pile up of texts I'd like to read that you guys have sent in. And as always, these are great and we love them. So keep them coming. As a reminder,
play our text sound. There we go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Here's the number you got to use, 801-471-0462, to send these texts. This isn't for live people. These are ones I've already got. So live people, you can still send us texts, but I'm not going to read them live.
Sorry, dead people.
Yeah, sorry, dead people. I feel bad for dead people. They're not here. They're dead.
Well, sure.
Here's one about animals. This is from Serenix, who I think is in the chat today. Thought I saw his name flash by. Hello, Scott and Brian. There are many animal-themed characters in Marvel and DC. What animal theme would you choose for yourself, and what powers would you have? Yours in this life and the next, Serenix. Why is it yours? He's doing the core thing from John. Sorry, I couldn't understand what that was.
Because so many of them are taken. Like, there's not many left that haven't been. You're like left with the mosquito or the naked mole rat.
Let's think of what we got. We got Blue Beetle already. We got Squirrel Girl. She's done. And I'm counting
Wolverine,
insects just because why not? Wolverine, right? It's a perfect one. Black Panther, of course.
Tarantula, Black Widow. I mean, if we're just even going in the arachnid family.
Yeah, there's plenty of spider stuff. So, like, Skunk Man says the chat. You know what? There's probably something like that. Is there a hero that, like, farts real bad or something?
Yeah, right. Or can just, like, a noxious fumes creature.
I know there
could
is.
Could I do some sort of play on the Pachycephalosaurus?
Yeah, always. Always.
Because I like that dinosaur because he's just got a big, a big plate in his head. That is super strong, and I wouldn't keep hitting mine on the trunk of my car accidentally. So,
well, outside of Spider Rex, are there any dinosaur type heroes in the DC or Marvel universe? I can't think of one.
There's a Devil Dino.
Oh, Devil Dino.
Devil Dinosaur, and be on the lookout for a brand new cartoon coming to your
Hulu?
Disney Plus.
Oh, Disney Plus.
Is it coming to Disney Plus next year?
Oh.
I got to see the pilot.
Yeah.
Is it good? It was great with Morpheus. Morpheus was there introducing the pilot of his brand new show that he's producing. And
Wait a minute. For real? Like, what's his name? Is producing it?
Yes. And I'm glad you're running into the what's his name too, because now all of a sudden I can't remember.
I can't think of his name. we're talking about, Dallas Buyers Club skinny guy, right? We're talking about him.
Fishburne. Thank you. Jeez.
Oh, Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, no, not... Wait.
Who I thought you said Morbius. You said Morpheus.
Oh, I said Morpheus. Yeah, you were thinking Jared Leto.
Yeah, gotcha. I heard Morbius in my head for some reason. I'm sure you said it right.
Good old Larry Fishburne, who we just saw running the halls of Dream Warriors High. The Dream Warriors Sanitarium.
Credited as Larry Fishburne.
Larry Fishburne. He'll always be Larry Fishburne to me.
I didn't realize this was his gig. That's cool.
His gig. He does a voice, and he's also producing it, and it was really good. I'm looking forward to it. It's got a very Powerpuff Girls frenetic style to it, which we really, really like. So. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Saranix, my answer to this is I would do a bat. Now, let me explain. A bat, like a Batman, I would be. I would prowl the night looking for criminals. Yeah, it's original. Nobody's done this yet. I would work kind of with the police department, but in a clandestine way. And the only way I'd know is if they'd shoot a thing into the clouds that said, hey, we need your help. It's
like
all original.
A big Batman sign. Yeah. Just a big sign that says, hey, Batman.
Yeah, hey, Batman, get in here. And I'd go help them with whatever they needed. This is all original.
If you will.
Yeah. Yeah, signal. You could call the bat signal. I don't know. You could do whatever you want. But,
sure.
I'd be in this town called Gritham, and it'll be great. I really can't think of a good animal thing, though. I really can't.
I know.
What hasn't been done? Dogs have been done.
Is there a honey badger? Pretty sure there's a honey badger, right?
Is there?
It's got to be. I figure, you know, we found, I guess you didn't watch it, but a recent Disney Plus Marvel series reintroduced us to the porcupine.
Did that happen in She-Hulk, I guess?
I'm not going to spoil it for anybody.
It sounds right.
But, you know, like all of these D and E list Marvel heroes that I think, you know, we've gotten. Oh, there we go. So, yep, there is a honey badger.
How about the pigeon? Someone in the chat says pigeon. Is there a pigeon? I mean, there's a dove, hawk and dove, and dove is a pigeon. Did you guys know that pigeons are just doves? They're just gray, dirty doves? Did you guys know that?
What?
Yeah. Pigeons are doves, man.
Dove was a separate... Doves are just part of the pigeon world?
Or the other way. Pigeons are part of the dove world.
Oh, I see. Pigeons are just doves that have, been under a car.
Here we go.
Gotten all oily.
Pigeonopedia says... This is literally true.
Okay. There's a new source that I trust.
Yeah, for sure. It says, while doves and pigeons are both descended from the wild rock dove, the one big difference between the species is they have different number of chromosomes. 76 of their 78 match, though. So they're basically doves.
Yeah. Yeah, according to Mental Floss, which is a site I trust.
Yeah, sure.
Both dove and pigeon refer to the 300-plus species of birds in the Columbidae family. No difference between a pigeon and a dove in scientific nomenclature, but colloquial English tends to categorize them by size. So, yeah,
and usually color. If they're white, everyone's like, oh, they're beautiful. Let them out on your wedding. Right. And if they're gray, you're like, get out of here, you sewage pigeon. Rat. Yeah, you flying rat. People hate them.
Yeah.
But you're hating on the same. They're all the same bird, man. Birdman. There's another Birdman. See, we got too many. I can't think of one that hasn't been taken.
Oh, so many Birdmans, right? The Vulture, the Condor Man. When are we going to watch Condor Man, by the way?
Hawkman. Condor Man would be amazing. Yeah. Why aren't we watching that right this freaking second?
Eagles with the Eagle something. Is there an Eagle something?
Eagle Man. I don't know.
Eagle Man.
I'm not sure. Sadly,
he's bald, and that's his only power. Excelsior.
Yeah, he's pretty good at picking up rats and eating them or whatever he gets there.
Right.
Saranix, we'll have to get back to you. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Here's one from Missy, who says, random question. Have Scott or Brian watched Players? If not, you have to watch this amazing show, says Missy. Oh. I don't know what Players is.
Players is a mockumentary series about a League of Legends type esports league.
Oh, I heard really good things about this.
Really? Okay.
Yeah,
except just the description. So
I heard it was legitimately funny and good, but also they absolutely get the culture of what they're having fun with.
See, that's good, because that's one of those things you don't want, like, an outsider saying, well, this is what I think esports is from a completely outside the world view.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. Matt Fowler of IGN says Players, about a professional League of Legends esports team, is another big mockumentary win for the creators of American Vandal. 9 out of 10.
Oh, wow. All right. What's it on? What's it streaming on?
Paramount Plus. Yep, Paramount Plus. Okay.
All right.
So that is one I definitely want to see.
This
and I'm glad
you
reminded
us. To my Brian Watch Without Tina list, because she certainly won't care about an esports league TV mockumentary show.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how good they are at the mockumentary part. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that it feels like it stands, even though if you have no interest in esports, maybe it's like a, I don't know, to get you a little further because it's funny.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. But speaking of that world, I'm so glad Mythic Quest is about to come back for its new season. Love that show.
Third and final, or do we know? We
don't Third, know. But I don't know about final. They haven't announced it being the final season.
I saw something about it.
Oh, and Atlanta's final episode. God, I loved this most recent season of Atlanta. I just loved. And
it's an amazing show.
It really is. Yeah.
One of the best. I'll be. It's over after this, right? They're done.
Yeah, Thursday's episode is the final episode. This last one with, not Darius, not Ernie. What is the guy's name? The rapper dude, big boy, not big boy.
Paperboy.
Him and his farm life is just so fantastic.
Really,
such a great episode.
I've got this whole season. I got to catch up on. So
yeah,
I'm excited to though. Will you guys watch the Hallmark film with your wives? No.
$8 for Christmas.
That's terrible. That's terrible. But also, Kim is getting in the mood. But here's how it goes. She starts with non-Christmas rom-com material and then works her way into it. So right now she's watching, I don't know what it was last night, something with a bunch of people, I don't know. But it was some rom-com. And then she'll do probably one or two more of those. And then she'll start dabbling in the Christmas-themed ones. And then it's full Hallmark for the rest of the season. That's how this goes.
Wow.
Yep. So I'll go watch esports mockumentary. That's what I'm going to do. She can sit up there and watch all her bull-ess, which is a weird way of saying bullshit. All right. Let's move on. Here's just a nice thing somebody said. This is, let's see. I'm not sure they give us their name. Anyway, hi, Scott and Brian and Wendy. Sarah here with a quick hat trick of comments for the three of you. I'll pass this on to Wendy.
Sarah.
As well. Yeah. Oh, there it is, Sarah. Scott, thank you absolutely for everything you're doing, and I appreciate all the hard work and chore core recommendations. Brian, absolutely on point with the music selections. You are the reason my iTunes wish list is growing exponentially. Finally, Wendy, thank you for the hour and a half sleep suggestion recently. That's done wonders for both me and my husband. Thanks, and have a lovely day.
Aw. Nice.
I will pass that on to Wendy as well so that she's made aware. Thank you, Sarah. C-E-R-A is how it's spelled. If that's your real name.
In case you're stalking her, it's spelled C.
Yeah. Yeah, just to give you one more step toward meeting your true love. But I love that spelling. What a cool spelling that is.
I do too, yeah.
Because you could say to me, hi, I'm Sarah, and I wouldn't know. I'd just say, S-A-R-A, S-A-R-A-H.
Unless it's your last name and you're a quirky male actor from Arrested Development.
But, yeah, you could be Michael Cera. Seatbelt thing from a listener here. Question for TMS from Aaron. He says, Scott mentioned on Tuesday that he's against motorcycle helmet laws. I didn't say I was against him. I think I said I was kind of indifferent. I think people should take care of their heads is what I think I said. And not whether or not it should be a law, I don't know. I'm kind of torn on it. But anyway, what is his opinion on seatbelt laws? Same concept of law of a law meant to force people to take safety measures they might otherwise not. Yeah, it sounds like if you're for the helmet laws,
feels
then you're,
like it's got to be
I should say it the other way. If you're for seatbelt laws, you're probably for helmet laws. Here's why I like seatbelt laws and what makes them different in my mind.
Yeah.
It made the industry include them mandatorily, and they're built into the product. So you have this seatbelt that is in there. You can't get a car without one. And
I think
I was just going to say motorcycles, you don't have to buy the helmet.
It's
a
built-in helmet that can come down on your head when you sit down on the
right. And also it's all set in stone. So it just is what it is. And there are plenty of motorcycle driver or riders who hate helmet laws and will fight it at every turn, but are fine with having seatbelt laws. Well, that seems weird to me too. So I don't know, Brian.
I think
the big
thing for me, and Kelly 138 nails it, is that seatbelt laws force parents to put their kids in seatbelts. regardless of, you know, whether the parents put them on or not, fine, let it be their own gamble. But if it forces parents to put their kids in seatbelts, then I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. And you don't see a lot of kids on motorcycles. So
that's a good point. I just think having it, I don't know. To me, it's like anything that's almost, it gets team sportsy. It's just, to me, it's like gun ownership or anything else. Like, you're going to, whatever side you pick, you're going to dig in. And for some reason, even though it seems contradictory to be okay with seatbelt laws, but not okay with helmet laws, people are just freaking weird. That's the end result. People are weird, man.
Yeah. I mean, I feel, yeah, exactly. People, I mean, like, I feel like it should be in a situation where if you are mature enough, you know, mature enough adult to take care of yourself, you can make that decision. However, it should be mandatory for those that are not able to make those decisions for themselves maturely, like kids or the other.
Yeah. If someone ever fights for like removing seatbelt laws, then, fine, do it for adults, but you got to keep the kid thing in there.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm always going to wear one because I'm not a dipshit.
Right. Exactly.
See, yes. That's my whole thing. That's why I probably sounded like I wasn't anti helmets. I'm right. just like, no, if you're a dumbass, fine.
Pro
I'm not,
common sense.
Yeah.
I just, we're all pro common sense.
Yeah. If I want to wear, I'll wear a helmet because I'm not stupid. And if you're not wearing one because you feel like you're making a stand, freaking good luck with that tree or that rock you're about to slam your head into. Good luck. Have fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's one. What did Brian do is the header here. We got one from New Brunswick, Canada, from Josh. He says, hey, fellas, I've been wondering what Brian did for work when he says he did an install at such and such newspaper place. Been listening for years, but have never caught what he actually did for a job back then. Love the show. Josh from New Brunswick. So, yeah, Brian, you want to explain your...
I ran the support team for a software company from 1992 till 2006. And part of that was either me going or sending out members of my team to different newspapers around the country to do installations of our software at the newspapers, either in tandem with or prior to the trainers going there. Because we couldn't, you know, we really didn't want to rely on somebody at the newspaper. Usually it's the ad director who's super overworked, and retail ad manager can't go around to every computer in their sales department and make sure the software is installed, test it, and that sort of thing.
Sure.
So I would go out there and I would install for anywhere from like 5 to 50, you know, the Dallas Morning News and New York Times and stuff like that would have these massive rooms filled with retail ad sales. And I'd have to install on every computer. But then you'd go to someplace like the Vallejo Times in Northern California. You'd be like, 3 computers, take me like 5 minutes. Okay, I'm done.
Yep. Go back to the hotel.
So basically I'd get to decide when a newspaper got sold. Am I going to do the installation, or am I going to send one of my people out to the installation? And for the most part, it was like, no, I'm going to go. Are you kidding? I'm going to go check out Northern California. I'm going to go check out Central Florida or the Carolinas or, you know, something like that. But it's like, all right, we've got one for the Detroit Free Press. Who wants it? Let's see. I'm going to send let's send Ashley on that one, or let's send Adrian or whoever.
Sure.
So
did you become lord of this, like to the point where you were this expert on all remote installs and you would be like the guy to talk to and all that?
Oh, for sure. Because, I mean, I was head of the department, and so I'd actually be the, you know, I'd have to be the one to answer questions. If I sent somebody else out and they called me from the road at 6 o'clock in the morning because it's 8 o'clock where they're at, and they're like, there's a problem. We're trying to install it, but I'm getting this error on their PC and... I'd have to be the one who'd handle all that.
Anybody in the chat have quick access to Brian's GIF of him picking up a chicken instead of a phone?
if I could just use your chicken.
Because I can't find it. I can't find it. I thought I had it. I was like, okay, well, Brian's telling the story. I'm going to find that GIF, and I can't freaking find it.
But for a long time, the Chris Brown that we talk about on this show, my buddy Chris Brown, was my boss for several of those years.
Oh, I didn't know
he
that.
He was my... Yeah, he was... head of sales and because of that, head of the like the training and installation. So Chris Brown was my boss.
Nice. Brown, yep. Chris Brown calling the shots, as it were.
That's right.
Exactly. Yep. All right. Here's another one from, let's see, this is our last one, I guess. This is from, oh, I like that you put a note here saying his job back then was high-priced hooker.
Yeah, I was going to try. I was like thinking you'd see that and just start laughing before.
I didn't see it till now. I didn't even notice it till now. I was too zoomed in.
What a brand new high priced hooker.
Yeah. Yeah. He was, he did specialty stuff. You couldn't just get,
that's right. Exactly. You know,
can't get that stuff anywhere. Here's one from Josh in Indiana. Another Josh, two Joshes in a row here. Says, this is about translations. I was listening to Tuesday's edition of TMS and Scott referred to an actor as Digimon Hansu. he says, is there a list somewhere that translates these Scottisms to their real world names? I can't figure out who Scott was referring to. Thanks, Josh.
I think of all of the people, the mispronounced names, like, you know, Chloe Moritz Cortez or whatever, yeah. whatever you do for Chloe Grace Moritz.
Yeah.
I feel like Digimon Hansu is probably the most obvious of who you're talking about.
I would have thought so, too, because it looks like...
Digimon Hansu is who he's talking about, and all he's doing is just pronouncing the D that's at the beginning of that name.
That's right. Here's his Wikipedia page. As you can see, it's D-J-I-M-O-N, which means that actually translates directly to... my joke just fell flat because I couldn't think of the name of the damn thing. What's it called when you do it? Oh, that stands. That's Drone Mon. Do you get it?
Oh, DJI. I get it.
Drone Mon. Yeah. Wow. Yes. Anyway, Han.
Glad we waited for that one.
I am too. Boy, I'm going to go edit it and post it. It'll sound perfect. Anyway,
yeah, like quicker up. Yeah.
He's your 58-year-old amazing actor who's in tons of stuff, and he's great. Think good buddy friend and Gladiator. Think who from Guardians,
Korath the Pursuer. Yes.
Yeah. Think the main actor. His real breakout role was that Spielberg movie where he was a slave in the ship. What was that called?
Oh,
Slave in the Ship. Amistad.
Amistad. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. I think that was his first deal.
Yeah.
Or the one that really got him noticed. Anyway, and he's a very, very striking man. He's just like, wow, look at this guy.
Yeah.
So there's your Digimon Hansu. And no, there's no list somewhere of all the names I get wrong. Okay.
No, but you have to make up your own list. And then if you can, then that's great.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
You know, I've obviously almost all cut up. Haven't watched the newest episode of Andor, which I think dropped today. But I do like the... reuniting of Forrest Whitaker and Andy Serkis from Black Panther into Andor.
Yeah, look at that. A little crossover there.
A little crossover. A little repairing of those two.
I assume the characters that... What's his name? Frandall Hacksaw? Hacksaw.
You're talking about Saw. It is Saw
Gerrera.
Saw Gerrera, yes.
Yeah. Hacksaw Gerrera. yeah, that's cool. I didn't know they were both going to be back. I saw screen grabs, so I figured they were there. Yeah. But
how far are you into?
I'm only 5 episodes in, so I'm way behind, okay. But I'm on the catch up. I really like it, so I'm kind of taking my time. Nice. The one thing I would say, though, I guess somebody online today said that there was a really distracting thing in the latest episode.
And really?
Somebody's wearing ski boots.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they carrying an ice cream maker by chance?
No, but and there was something else, like something. What did he say? There was some other thing.
I need
thing.
To see a screen grab. I didn't catch that at all, but that's really funny.
Who made oh my gosh, who made like all the old like LucasArts point and click games?
Sierra?
They just got bought by Microsoft. It was LucasArts. They were the Sierra was the competing company back then. Why can't I think of his name? He made the Jack Black game where he's like a heavy metal guy, and then he made Tim. Yeah, but I don't want just his first name. Tim what? Schaefer.
Tim Schaefer. This is the Broken Age guy, isn't it?
Yes, thank you. So yes. Tim Schaefer is the one that pointed it out. Let me see if I can find the post. It's pretty
These
great.
Are literally just snowboarding boots. Oh my god, is this if this is from that same Reddit. Oh, it's not. Darn it. There's a Reddit thing called It's literally just a book light.
That's what it is. There it is. Okay, chat.
Yeah, I see. I'm looking at the photos right now of them walking down the hall with those. Those are really just snowboarding boots.
Yeah, well, and there was one other too. So like, I have no idea. There was one other one where it was like snowboard birdies and something else. What was it?
Oh, they're the boots. Okay, yeah, the ones they walk on. Sure, in the zap floor prison.
Oh,
sure.
I guess what he's talking about earlier was there's a Polaroid camera in there that they use as like a navigational aid, but it's just a Polaroid camera.
Oh, yes, yes. It was what's his face was using it in their little siege group. I love that too.
He hates it. He thinks it takes him out of the show is what his problem is. And he later says, I have expected these guys, the guards down the hall, to be holding some Mountain Dew. So he's a little annoyed. But
there's you've seen the Reddit, the subreddit, That's a Book Light, right?
No. Let's see. Oh. I want to.
There's so much great stuff that they're like pulling out of Andor, like his cereal that the dude eats, Cyril's weird blue Cocoa Puffs.
Mm-hmm.
Are actually the Trolls World Tour Trix cereal.
No way. That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, here it is.
I'm
okay.
Fine with all of this.
I am joining. Okay, another one. You know how much I love Dune, right? Dune's great.
Yeah, yeah.
When they're up in the Omnithopters, or whatever they're called, the helicopter things that work like bugs, at one point, Papa Atreides there is wearing a helmet. And he's flying. Yep. He's piloting the Omnithopter, right? You remember this?
Right. Yep. Yep.
So on his head is this like helmet array thing that just looks a little bit odd. But the reason it looked familiar to me, and I went and looked it up, it looks like, or not only it looks like, it is this accessory thing you can buy for the HTC Vive, okay. Like VR headset. That makes it like weighted better in the back, kind of like the one you can buy for your Quest that like gives you more balance or whatever. I don't know.
Okay,
but you can buy it like a $50 add-on. It's like one of those. They literally just used that on his head. They just put that on his head. And it's Dune. You know how much money they have for Dune? They have so much money for Dune.
Right. You know what though? I'm so fine with it. There's another photo of like an egg slicer that's used as a light in Andor. just put in the chat room. These are just fine.
They are pretty good. Oh, they've got. All right, that's funny. There's another Andor one. Star Wars Andor. Wall steps are food trays.
Oh, really?
No, they're just food trays. Oh my gosh, these are great. Yeah, this Reddit is great.
It really is. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna this
I know,
is my
you
new
just
obsession.
Told that it's like, oh, here's an old Nintendo controller, or here's a
this is amazing. This is really great.
A TV remote control that they used in Doctor Who, or
this is so good. Oh, Battlestar Galactica from 79, they've got a weird alien tree with fruit on it. They're just water balloons full of water. Amazing. That's amazing.
Oh, great. Right. I mean, that's what we would do, right? If we were making a movie, it's like, well, all right, you know, let's not spend money on that thing from, you know, that's going to be barely noticeable in the background. We'll like use a jart, like a, you know, a lawn dart.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if we have lightsabers without them just jury rigging pipes and
that's
stuff.
True. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know?
I love that stuff.
Random crap glued to a pipe.
Is it jury rigging or jerry rigging? Oh, I don't know if I've said the right thing. I'm sure the chat will correct me. Jury rigging?
I think jury rigging, I think.
That's what I thought. I always say jury rigging. Is it jerry rigging? I'm having a crisis.
If it's not jury rigging, then unfriend me!
Then unfriend me. That's right. Unfriend me, damn it. All right. Well, there you go. That's all that she wrote for the text. If you want to send yours in, 801-471-0462. You can send them anytime, anywhere. Just kind of indicate that it's for TMS in some way. Usually you guys say, like, Dear Bibbit and Scrippy, or whatever you do, you can do that, and we'll know. That way we'll know, and we'll read them here on the show. It's time for the news. It's the news, and it's brought to you by...
A shout out to Jim and Robin Jensen. May today's surgery be quick and pain-free.
Yes, so they're the nicest human beings ever.
They really are. Yes.
They came by the house yesterday while the baby was over and dropped off a gift for Kim and her birthday. Aww. Brought me some shirts for no reason. I don't even need shirts. Now I love them. They're great.
rough shirts.
They gave me
shirts.
So they're
Stitch Fix, basically, is what they are for you.
I don't know why they thought of me in this way, but I'm glad they did because I need a couple of new shirts. They're perfect for winter. I love them. Anyway, they hung around for a while. And we just talked and chatted, and Robin played with the baby, and it was great. Anyway, today she has some surgery that should be quick in and out, day, you know, same day stuff.
Yep.
So we just want them to know we're thinking about them and wish them the best as that all goes down.
For sure. Absolutely.
Brian, we got,
yes, sir.
We got a student problem. A problem with the students.
Oh, no. Won't somebody think of the students?
Well, we're going to think of them right now. 55 of them in this regard may have to retake their SATs after they were lost in a UPS truck.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's what you do.
Oh.
I don't know why why are we mailing? I guess.
Right. Could there be somebody on site who approves those, please?
Yeah, it's very weird to me, but whatever. It says, taking the SATs is a stressful, anxiety-inspiring rite of passage for many high school students. My notable SAT experience was that I was doing terrible in grades at that time, but I freaking rocked the test.
Like really?
I killed it, which was typical for me because what I didn't like was busy work, homework, and sitting there. But I was smart. I got the shit in my head, and I would take tests and ace all my tests. But I would just be bad at turning things in or being on time or all this kind of thing. I was kind of a turd that way, but SATs, I think I was a 28.
So what happened to us, man?
Like, I know. Look at us now.
Where did all that stuff go where we can't even pull Jaimon Hansu's name or Lawrence Fishburne's name out of thin air? What the heck happened to us?
Age. All right. It says here, 50 students in El Paso have to take these tests again. Their tests were flew out of a UPS truck.
Flew out?
Yeah. That means their back was open and they probably didn't secure them or whatever. Right. Aren't those always open? Geez. They're always kind of open, right?
The backs usually aren't, but the sides, I noticed that the Amazon delivery drivers in my area anyway, at least drive around with the side door open. And it's like, all right, sure it saves you a lot of time, but doesn't stuff just fly out when you make a left-hand turn?
Yeah. Yeah, that seems weird to me. But anyway, these papers flew out. They lost them. So now the Independent School District of El Paso tells CNN that they are currently working with the College Board, which administers the SATs, to determine a remedy for the students whose tests were lost. They're going to have to retake them. That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, that does suck because the stress, those poor kids already had the stress of having to do it once. And it's like, oh, thank God that's over. And I think I did really well, but I can finally relax. Oh, you know, you're going to have to take that thing again.
Yeah. Plus some of those kids, the Sharpie they used to cheat and write all over their arm, it's all worn off by now.
That's right. You know? Maybe they'll do better the second time. Maybe they've gone back and said, oh, yeah, shoot, I should have said blah, blah, blah. And now they get the chance.
It says they got a statement from UPS, which had a big apology. It says, quote, our employees are working to recover as many of the tests as possible. Well, so they might get some of them if they find
they
them.
They might, yeah, yeah.
We
did find a semi full of meat. Would that work?
Throwback, everybody. Yesterday's show.
That's
throwback.
Right. That's right.
If you're all listening, you know.
That's right. Now, who says there's no continuity in TMS, huh?
Not us. Not you. Not ever. It says, let's see, they're going to try to resolve it, said the company. The driver's actions in this case are not representative of the UPS protocols and methods, and we are addressing this with him. Well, I don't know if you want to throw him under the bus. Maybe the papers were badly, I don't know. Maybe my brother's a UPS driver. I don't want to just, you know, throw shade on UPS guy. Maybe he didn't do it. Maybe he's okay.
Wait a minute, your brother's a UPS driver, and you're saying that those guys usually drive around with their backs open, like their the back door is open.
Good point. Maybe I'm seeing I'm seeing a kink in the chain here. A kink in the chain, not a kink in the chain. A kink in the hose.
Kink in the armor is the phrase. Oh, we're kink. Okay, yeah.
Is it a kink in the armor or a chink in the armor?
Chink in the armor.
Right.
Is the phrase.
Which is my brother when he wears armor. Right? Now, that's a joke we can say because I grew up in a household where we called my brother that word, and it was an
term.
Brian's out of this.
You can say that because you grew up in a...
It was a term of endearment in our house until we got out of the house and heard mean people say it, and then we realized, oh, that's not nice at all. Anyway. If you're explaining, you're losing, Brian. Trust me, I've done that my entire life, and I have no shame in it. Matt would sit here right now with me, and I'd go, Matt, how do you feel about your family calling you that? And he'd say, it's no big deal. I'd say, well, how do you feel about some stranger calling you that? And he goes, I beat him up, he'd say.
Yeah, yeah.
Which he would do. He would kick their A. Watch out. My brother, he doesn't remember all the Taekwondo that he was taught before he came here, but it's like in him a little bit.
You know what? If he remembers enough of it, that should be just fine.
That's all you need, right? Yeah. Just a tiny bit of Taekwondo.
One or two things, you got me beat.
It goes a long way, if I can say the word. I don't know how to say it. Anyway, so this is weird, and I hope those kids get to retake their tests in a way that makes sense, or they find the shit. All right? That's what we want. All right, moving on.
And if not, then I hope those kids do better the second time.
Yeah. I always, you never hear that, though. You always hear when a kid retakes it.
Cruel and unusual punishment to make him do it twice.
You always hear when they take him again that they're lower, though. That's always the story.
Oh, really? Oh.
I mean, that's all I ever heard. Like, kids in school, they're like, well, I'm going to try to get better into 26. And then they come back with a 24.
Okay.
I don't know if that's going to be everybody, but that's how it always felt. So good luck, I guess, to all of you. Find young... The future of our world hangs in the balance as these kids get their tests done and go to college. Moving on to this story here.
Yeah.
I heard a big bang, says a man who wonders if a meteorite destroyed his house.
Oh. If I stay in a cheap hotel, I usually hear a big bang.
Yeah. Right next door. You ever had to call the front desk and tell them a neighbor? I don't mean for that, but I mean like somebody in the hotel is too loud and you were like, can't sleep.
No, actually I never. Well, have I? I'm sure I have. You know what? I've stayed in a lot of hotels and I'm sure I've had to say, hey, could you call the people in the room next to us? That's usually a Tina thing. Like Tina gets pissed off if somebody's walking down the hall past our room too loud. Tina has zero shits to give.
She also has incredible hearing. She's like Kim. They both have crazy hearing.
She
and
does.
They can hear everything.
She absolutely does.
I don't think that's fair.
You know, I'm usually like, you know, if I can sleep, I'm usually able to sleep through all that stuff. That's usually not going to be the thing that wakes me up, but I've had noisy people above me doing it. But that was in an apartment. And then, you know, I just would see them later and be like, you guys are nasty.
Yeah. I'm calling you Mr. and Mrs. Coitus.
You guys are talkers, man. Yeah.
So do they, but in a hotel sense, I feel like for me, it's always somebody yelling at somebody and it's always Vegas where this happens. But I always feel like somebody's screaming at somebody else. And I'm always like, all right, in the movies, somebody might even go down to their room, knock on the door and go, hey, we're trying to sleep up here. I would never do that. You get yourself killed.
Yeah, exactly.
I ain't doing that.
No, and it's not like you can say, tell them anonymously that the person who, there's only one room that's adjacent to them because they're... at the end of the hotel.
Yeah.
Tell them anonymously that there's making too much noise for one of the people around them.
Yeah. And that whole thing is frustrating.
Also. Yeah, the crying kids, I mean, that sucks because there's really nothing they can do about it. So
yeah, that one you just turn on some white noise and hope for the best, you know? Just
exactly.
Do what you can.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, this guy, Northern California, here's the deal. So Northern California officials are looking to see if a bright ball of green light seen in the sky on Friday is a meteorite that landed and destroyed this dude's house.
Oh, well, if it's not, then what else would it be?
Then what was it? Yeah. Alien laser. I don't know.
Right.
Witnesses came from all over the region following the path of the bright ball in the sky to see where it landed, and that path led right to Dustin Procata's home. He was sitting inside the house with his two dogs when he said something hit his home and started a fire. He lives in a quiet rural area amongst rolling hills where cattle graze.
Oh,
this is nice.
And the buffalo roam.
Yeah, and the meteors fall. He said the area in his home, or sorry, he said the area is home to multi-generational cattle farmers and ranchers.
Well, all of a sudden he's an Aryan. What?
Yeah. What? Wait a minute. He had just fed the cows and sat on the couch listening to music when it hit his home. Didn't say what music he was listening to. I'd like to think it was Exit Stage Right from Rush.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's an interesting pull.
Is that weirdly specific? Yeah.
I'm going to guess it's Jason Aldean is what he was listening to.
Oh, geez. All right. You might be closer to correct. Just trying to think
that's what they listen to where the, you know, where the deer and the antelope play.
I'm just trying. I'm just trying to picture, like, if you're a dude, a kid of the 70s.
Yeah.
I don't even know how old this guy is, doesn't say. But for some reason, I just picture him being a guy who like loved Rush when he was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And now he's listening to Rush with his dogs. I don't know. I don't know why. Anyway.
Down the water, today's Tom Sawyer. Yeah, anyway.
So they saw this thing. The problem is it got real small by the time it hit ground. And so he thinks the fire... So what they saw in the sky was much bigger as it broke up in the atmosphere. And then when it hit his house, it was probably only the size of a cat or something.
Sure.
I don't know why I chose cat. Whatever. Why is it... Yeah, why cat, Scott? Why couldn't you say basketball or football? I said cat.
Anyway. I mean, do we know that this guy just didn't accidentally burn down this house and say, oh, it was something that came from the skies, insurance company. Please, believe me.
Hey, and now see, look at Detective Ibbitt with the news, the scheme. Yeah. I like it. I like it. I like, no, I think you're right. I think you've got the thing of it.
You know, I'm Joe Skeptic here. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Joseph P. Skeptic.
Why did they have the camera rolling when that Costco truck hit that guy in the nuts?
That's right. Hmm. Well, you know what we should do when we talk about stuff like this? All right, so.
Meet the defendant.
Meet the defendant. He says a meteor hit his house.
He's
he thinks a meteor hit his house and set it on fire. The city
little alien gave him a green ring. Meet the...
Oh, that music brings me back. It's so weird to play it. All right, there's that. How about this story? Lindy, you know, there Lindell, is it? Lindy? Lindell.
Well, there's Lint.
There's Lint,
the
L-I-N.
Worst possible name for, yeah.
And then L-I-N-D-T, and then Lind, or Little.
Little.
Well, these guys make chocolate.
That's so horrible.
This is the deal. Yep. They all make chocolate. And Little was told to destroy golden chocolate bunnies after it lost a copyright case with Lint. I don't know why they just give this stuff away to charity or something. Why destroy it?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I understand. Like, we did the whole thing with the Target bikes some time ago,
right?
They throw away old bikes that didn't sell, and I'm like, dude,
those could have been defective though. I think somebody had come back to us and said, well, they might have thrown those away because, you know, there were other issues, or
I guess it could have been a recall.
There was some explanation that somebody came back to us and like, oh, that does kind of make sense.
Yeah, but it was like a terrible. Reason. It's a reason that was like made sense, but it was like a capitalist reason. It was like a
liability.
Was it a liability thing? Is that what it is?
Yeah, okay. Liability of like
that's what it
floor
was.
Models that people could have been bouncing up and down on and breaking and that sort of thing.
That
so.
Sucks though.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the 80s when you can give shit away and not worry about it.
But at least, you know, if it's a problem with these bunnies, it's like, no, you can't sell them because they're bunnies. We'll cut the ears off and call them gold chocolate cats.
Yeah. They're just cats with short
it's just
ears.
Cats.
Yeah. Or long-eared cats. If you cut them down, just call them cats. I agree. Everyone wants a chocolate cat.
Who doesn't? It's not the size of a meteorite.
Makes it sound like there's hair in it. Anyway,
gold chocolate cat.
So there was some copyright protection thing for a similar product is the whole thing. So the Swiss company, they had to give it up. Switzerland's largest court, highest court in the land, agreed and overturned the ruling last year by the country's commercial court that had sided with Little. So this is interesting. It says destruction is proportionate, especially as it does not necessarily mean that the chocolate as such would have been destroyed, it said in the summary of its verdict.
Yeah, so basically he says, oh, well, you know, melt the chocolate down, use it for other products. You don't have to destroy the bunnies, just melt the bunnies.
Melt them and make them into coins or whatever dumb thing chocolate people make. Did you like the chocolate coin as a kid? I used to think that was amazing.
I
loved that.
Yeah, you get the weird mesh grape bag those little gold coins.
And, yeah, those were great. I don't know why they were good. They're probably not good. They're probably terrible chocolate in there, but
yeah,
as a kid, you didn't care. It was a coin, man. And sometimes you get a little bit of the foil. You forget to take it off there and you get it like on a filling or something and it would hurt.
Yeah.
But it would hurt so good, you know? I used to love those. Final story. This is a happy ending. Of sorts.
Like those.
Yeah,
sometimes
I always like those.
The extra.
Yeah, big fan of the happy ending, are you?
Yep, sure.
Miss Argentina and Miss Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Uh-huh. As a former president once coined.
Puerto Rico.
Here's some
paper towels. Here you go, paper towels.
Yeah, okay, how those the paper towel thing must have worked because you just don't hear about it anymore. It's all
that's
good
right
down there.
Yep, exactly.
Let's see. Miss Puerto Rico and Miss Argentina revealed that they secretly got married. Oh.
Aww, nice. Marriage. If only other countries could come together like this.
No kidding.
No pun intended.
Give peace a chance.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. No pun intended indeed. A pair of international pageant winners are showing love knows no boundaries. Miss Argentina of 2020, Malaria Valerina.
It's Mariana Varela. She does not have the name of a disease.
Look, it's just a bad fever. We got shots for it now. 26 years old. And Miss Puerto Rico, 2020, Fabiola Valentin.
Hey, there you go. That one you nailed. I was ready for that one.
Yeah, she's 22. They wrote in an Instagram post they got married October 28th after having kept their relationship out of the public eye. Let's see. After deciding to keep their relationship private, we opened the doors on a special day, 28-10-22. The couple wrote in their message. Oh, mm-hmm.
It's
adorable.
Man, for 2 years they've been keeping this thing a secret. It would have been much better if it's like at the end of the pageant they kissed passionately and got married after the sash went to Miss Cambodia.
That's right. Miss Cambodia. There she is.
That's right.
A couple posted photos together in recent years, but not shared any info that they were dating. Everyone thought they were just pals that met on the circuit, you know?
Nice. Yeah.
Nope. They're married now, and they're lovely, lovely ladies.
Aww. Yeah,
beautiful ladies. Isn't that how, let's see, Reinhardt, what's the guy's name on The Simpsons? The guy that's like Arnold, but they call him something else. Reinhold Wolfhart.
Reinhardt Wolfcastle.
Yeah, that's it. I love his thing where they're like, how do you sleep at night? On a pile of money with many beautiful ladies, he says. I've been watching The Simpsons. So I'm kind of
Rainier Wolfcastle.
Rainier
Wolfcastle.
Reinhardt has a shield.
I still got it before anyone in the chat room posted it. So yeah. That there's, you know.
Our brains are still capable.
Credit for that.
Yeah, our high SAT scores on display today. All right?
That's right.
That's it for the news. And now we'll take a break. When we come back, Bill Duran will be here. Let's see what's going on in the world of makers. Also, a little bit of science with Bobby. I also have a question for him from one Cyrenex in the chat room. So that's all coming up shortly, but I need a song to make it happen.
Yeah, let's go to Germany. Yeah, to a band called The Esprits, and they're spelled like the old the shirts that we bought in the 80s. Remember those shirts we bought in the 80s?
Sure.
Esprits, The Esprits. These guys are already like killing it in Germany, and now they're making their way to America with a feel-good energy bomb called White Shoes and the Walk. I like the song a lot. The video is kind of, all right, this looks like some sort of weird Eurovision crazy pants thing. However, the song is great. Here are The Esprits and White Shoes and the Walk.
Cannot escape you, I don't even try. I am addicted till the day that I die. You got me moving, electrified. True sonic grooving, my valentine. So how can the devil commit a crime? If I was the devil, you would be mine.
Be mad. All right, let's do it. You know? Bitch, what? From Corn. I never watched Corn. That's the band Corn. She said, I've never watched Corn. Ain't that right?
I feel so much more social when I take these mushrooms.
The Morning Stream. Don't impose your values on me, Sam.
You know, everyone talks about the William Shatner audio when he goes, oh, Jesus. But they never play all the rest of his audio from that flight.
I know. It's because it turns out he's a Korn fan and he doesn't want anyone to know. So I got to watch out.
Korn, you got to walk out here.
Brian, I need to know who that song was again so I can...
Oh, I'll tell you. That was The Esprits, a brand new single that they've released called White Shoes and the Walk.
Nice.
Was not William Shatner, by the way, people.
No. I was just... Let's not confuse things.
Oh, Jesus.
That's William Shatner. This thing here... So that, my understanding is, that's somebody talking normal and doing Korn impressions normal, but they're using a voice filter that makes them sound like a really like slow talking drunk dude.
So
that whole conversation was converted and it just weirded me out. And I thought, well, I'm going to use that.
Really weird. I don't know what to make of it, sir. I do not know.
I like to use weird things. So that's what I did. Bill Duran incoming, as you may expect here, but I got to remember how to spell punish props. There we go. On his way in here to talk cool stuff. Check it out.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Bill Duran joining us from the Pacific Northwest, somewhere near Seattle. I won't say quite where. We're not going to dox him entirely, but he's over there making cool stuff all the time, and he comes on the show on Tuesdays and talks about making stuff, the world of makers, that sort of thing. Bill, welcome back.
Hello. I'd like to formally announce that I'm retiring the maker life and I'm going to be an all-time Marvel Snap streamer. That's the only thing I do now.
Fantastic. If there's one way to get you off of Grounded, it's to introduce an addictive card game into your life.
Yeah,
or Satisfactory.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, you want to quit playing other video games, play a card game. That's the way it works.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah. I'm glad it's doing as well as it's doing because it's the least predatorial card game on the market. Yeah, and I like that.
And
any more of that.
It's just crazy fun. Yeah. It's just super short games and it's really fun.
Yeah.
But no, I am still making stuff.
Oh,
but
good.
I have been distracted.
Thank goodness. He's making a replica of Marvel Snap Physical Edition.
There you go.
For it now. What are you working on? What's going on these days?
You might start making Marvel Snap cards.
Yeah. It would actually be not, I mean, it'd be a lot of stuff, but you could make that into a board game pretty quickly.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Well, what is going on over there? What are you making now?
So I've been working on this brass project, and I wanted to talk about brazing. You guys familiar with the method?
Only when my burgers come to me from Dairy Queen and they feel like they've been soaking and cooking in water. That's the only braising I'm familiar with.
I was going to say, that to me, I think of meat when you say braising, so I'm not sure what to expect here.
So, it's a method for attaching metal parts together. It's kind of like welding, but it's not welding. Welding is very high temperature, like MIG welding. You take two pieces of steel, you introduce some filler metal. It melts both the base metal and the filler metal until it is all fused into one homogeneous piece. That is welding. We're not doing that. Okay. We are brazing. Right. What you end up doing is you put two pieces of metal together, and then the filler metal melts to fill in the joint, but it doesn't melt the base metal. It doesn't fuse it. It just acts like a cement that fills the joint. It's still pretty strong, but it's not as strong as something like welding. However, it is very, very useful for a lot of different reasons. You just don't want to use it to like fix the rim of your car. You don't want it nothing that is going to be under a lot of high temperature or high stress.
Sure.
But again, lots of really great applications. Mostly, you can braze two different metals together. Like, normally, you wouldn't be able to weld aluminum to steel, but you can braze them together.
Ooh,
so
nice.
Depending on the specific project you're doing or the needs you need, brazing may be the solution for you.
So it's not just like the equivalent of welding at all, though. I mean, it's if it was as simple as that, you could take a welding torch and bam, those two metals are together. But I don't.
Sure.
It doesn't work that way, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
All right. Look at me with my metal knowledge. My metallurgical knowledge is knows no bounds now that I've talked to you.
So here's the process in a nutshell. You take the two parts that you want to stick together. You prepare them, clean them off. And then you find some way to hold them in their final position. You can't touch them. They're going to get really hot. So usually little clamps or something to hold them in place. And then you put a little bit of flux on the joint. Flux is like a paste type stuff that you can brush on, and that prevents oxides from forming on the metal, which would prevent the joint from happening. So you put a little flux on there, and then you heat up the parts, usually with a torch, especially if you're doing anything small like I've been doing. You use a little torch. When the parts are hot enough to melt the filler metal, you just touch the filler metal in there, and it melts into the joint. The flux helps it sort of wick in there with capillary action. it's really cool. If you've ever like sweated copper pipes together, it's kind of that process, and it's really neat. It's actually quite simple, and you don't need a ton of tools or materials to do it. You don't need to buy a welder. Just need to torch the filler material and the flux.
It sounds like hardcore soldering in a weird way.
It kind of is.
Yeah, because you got the filler part, which, you know, is like your solder, and then you got the heat element thing, and then you got the other kind of metal you're trying to put together. So it's like, you know, solder's for the little kids. This is for men.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Men solder. And it is quite a bit stronger than solder. Now, you could do the same thing with solder. In fact, for very, very small brass things, I've used solder because it's all I have, just normal electronics solder.
Mm-hmm.
There are more robust ways to do it. And I recently picked up some silver solder.
Whoa.
Which is, it's got silver in it, a bunch of other stuff. And that creates a much stronger bond than normal solder. So I'm going to be experimenting with that this week.
If you use silver solder to build a motherboard of a computer, would you limit the ability of werewolves to use your brand of computer?
I would certainly hope so.
Okay, good. I'm going to have to remember that next time I build a computer.
Perfect.
Well, that's cool. I assume you're going to chronicle some of this and do some footage.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. This will be in our next...
You should do this for the channel.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be using this to put together my arcane brass butterfly, so we'll definitely film all that. It'll be fun.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I was talking about the filler metals, so I've got this silver solder I'm going to be trying, but there are a lot of different types of filler metals depending on the type of metal you want to join. And of course, if you're going to give this a go, if this is something you look up pretty quickly, you're like, oh, I want to stick two pieces of steel together. What sort of filler should I get?
Right.
You can look that up. And then, like I said, for my brass project, silver solder seems like it'll be really good. Last week, I showed you guys that video of Adam putting together a can, a watering can. This is exactly what he used to put it all together.
Oh, cool.
Brazing with silver solder.
Nice.
That's pretty rad. And then, like I said, it can be useful for a lot of stuff. I'm using it, obviously, to make small metal sculptures, but it can be really good for repairing things like jewelry or metal eyeglasses, especially if they have like a metal frame that broke. You could totally braze those things back together. Mm-hmm. But really, any non-structural parts or repairs on metal that don't have too much stress on them and won't get hot enough to melt the filler metal.
Quick question. So can you use, if you mentioned the solder, silver solder you're going to play around with, and you mentioned these other type of metals and stuff, could you braze or solder with gold? Is that even an option?
I wonder. Mm. I mean, that sounds very expensive.
I mean, it sounds expensive, but yeah. But let's say cost was no issue and it was like as easy to get as silver, copper, brass, or whatever. I wonder what the because like I was talking to my dentist the other day, a couple days ago, and he was like, that tooth you got in your mouth will never go away. You're going to always have that gold crown and it'll never be a problem. It'll never have to be redone. It's because it's so perfect for the human mouth. As a replacement for your teeth. It's just cosmetically, no one likes it because it looks like big old gold bling in your face. Unless you want that, of course.
Right.
So I always wonder, well, is that true of gold in other applications? Could I take gold and make... I mean, I don't know how conductive it is. Maybe that's part of the problem is you don't see it in electronics because it's less conductive than whatever the hell they're using. I don't know. So there's my gold. Right. That's the golden question.
Yeah. Cost could be a factor as well.
Yeah.
It does. I did a quick search here. It does look like gold is used as a filler material. It's likely not solid gold.
Right.
It's likely that gold, just like silver solder, is not solid silver. There is some silver mixed in.
That makes sense.
Is, I guess, some reason to have gold in there as well.
Yeah. And it's just, it's soft and pliable compared to other metals. So maybe that's another reason why you wouldn't. Or in cases where you need the flexibility and less rigidity, maybe that is a good reason to use it. I don't know.
Could be. Yeah.
Anyway, there's my fun gold tangent. Let's go back to what you were doing.
Gold tangent.
So you're gonna do a video on this. I'm excited about it. This kind of stuff totally intrigues me. So I will keep my eyes out for it. Bill, you have anything else you want to mention this week? Got a bonus?
I do, yeah. This is an older video from one of my favorite YouTube channels, The Craftsman, Steady Crafting. He did a video on silver soldering, and he does a lot of small jewelry-type projects, which is what this is perfect for. So if you want to learn about silver soldering, The Craftsman has a great video for you.
Oh, look at these little tiny things.
Little people, yeah.
Oh, these are great.
That's what I'm talking about.
This little key thing. Oh, look. Okay.
I mean,
well,
think about it like you can just glue metal together and then decide what you want to do with that. Because once you realize that, the potential is pretty limitless.
I want to make a little robot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell your friend thanks for that. Okay.
You probably have a lot of scraps of metal stuff around your house that would make a great robot.
Probably would. Hey, I forgot to mention this. We got a text from a listener, from Jeannie, who said, I want to add to this conversation about titanium, because we talked about it last week, and we got way too many titanium questions and emails. I don't know.
I know. Like, it really turned into the T in TMS for a while.
It really was. Titanium morning stream. Anyway, another reason titanium is so widely used, says Jeannie, is for medical applications. It is not magnetic. This can be crucial when needing an MRI. Also, I guess you don't want it to break down in the body when you have internal stuff. So, yeah. So, like, if you get a titanium rod in your knee, your back or something, those are the kind of people you also need to do follow-up MRIs with, like, down the road. And you can't have metal that's magnetic or magnetically affected metal. And so there you go. Another titanium deal. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Very cool,
Bill, with his titanium inspiration. It's
chalk
just
one more up for titanium.
I've never worked with titanium before. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it would be cool. You talked. I think it only came up in passing too, because we were talking about rods you could buy at your metal marketplace. You always buy all your metal from.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, ooh, they have titanium. I think that was like the extent of it. And then suddenly the world wants to talk about titanium. So there you have it.
Well, damn.
Anyway. Build around
now,
everybody.
I go look up titanium. I kind of want to buy a piece.
Yeah, see? See what we've done? This was all part of Big Titanium's plan to get you to buy more titanium. The whole thing was a sham.
It's just
not a schmear.
Way to push Big Titanium.
Big Titanium right down your throat. Hey, Bill, it's always good to have you on here. Of course, punishprops.com is the place to go, or the YouTube channel, or both. Why not both, I say? And you can see all the cool stuff he is working on and has worked on. If you're not already following or subscribing, you should be. Bill, have a grand week.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
See you next time. Oh, he's just so pleasant there at the end.
I know.
That Bill.
Even the whole time, really, Scott. I mean.
It's true. It was never unpleasant.
Never unpleasant.
Nope. Yeah. And I'll take that over unpleasant. Well, really, any day.
Sure.
Okay. Here's some fun, everyone. Get put on your science hats.
Science.
That's right. It's time for some science. A little science with Bobby Frankenberger. You may know him as a co-host of a fine show called All Around Science. And he's also on the show quite a bit. In fact, he'll be here tomorrow to guest host while Brian's out. And we'll have TV's Travis on Thursday. And, you know, a couple of our good buddies helping us out. But it's Tuesday, so it's time for science. Bobby, welcome to the show.
Science us up.
Yeah.
Thanks. Wow, that was a lot of stuff.
That was a lot of stuff. But, you know, you're worth it. You're worth every penny we don't pay you. Hey, welcome to the show. It's good to have you here. You know, you come to us with science and knowledge, and that's always good. Mm-hmm. But before you lay it on us, I have a question from Cyrenex in the chat room. Okay?
Okay. Our good friend Cyrenex.
Good pal Cyrenex. Good guy. Yep. He sent in this text, and this text says, hello.
We read earlier, actually.
Yeah, it is. Oh, that's true. Oh, is this the same one? Oh, it is the same.
It's the same one.
Oh, never mind then. Hey, Bobby, I'll ask you the question. Of all the animals not currently represented in comic books, okay, so you got your Black Panthers and your Hawkman and all that, is there an animal you would want to be associated with your superpowers in the Marvel or DC universe? Since we already answered, or actually lack of answered, you could maybe answer this.
Platypus.
Platypus Man.
Platoman. Something like that.
Who was the comedian? There was a comedian that had a Platypus Man thing in the '80s, wasn't there?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Platypus Man.
Platypus Man. Something. Oh, there is.
Yeah, what was that guy's name? It was an 80s comedian.
It's a sitcom, it says. Is that right?
Oh, so that was like he parlayed it into a sitcom? Like it was his...
Maybe.
His bit?
Are you thinking of Richard Jenny?
Richard Jenny. That's exactly who I'm thinking
of. That's who this is. Okay, it's an American sitcom, yeah. UPN, back in the 95, same year as Voyager started. Comedian Richard Jenny, television series based on the hour-long HBO special he filmed in 92. It only lasted one season, total of 13 episodes.
Had nothing to do with the superhero. There was some comparison of a platypus to a way he lived his life or something.
Yeah.
And he called himself Platypus.
So I think maybe you're good. There may be some confusion.
Statute of limitations has run out, so Platypus Man is all yours.
Yeah, you can have it, Bobby. You let us know when you go to town on this and make it happen, or what?
I will. You'll be the first to hear about it.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that. And thank you, Saranix, for your thing that I read twice today. All right. Let's get to whatever science you've brought. We all survived the meteor, by the way. I don't know if you noticed.
Oh.
It didn't kill us.
Or did you?
Well.
Yeah, right. This all could be a
simulation. Maybe you're living in a simulation in a computer somewhere.
There are times I wonder. But yeah. No, that thing just went right by us, right? Nothing. No residuals.
Yep, I felt the breeze as it went by.
Yeah. Just kind of scooched on past us.
It was going by pretty hot. That's why the warm weather here happened.
Why is it so cold here, though? See, now there's a conspiracy.
Well, the cold weather, as you know, the cold weather, the weather always moves from your side of the country to ours. So we're getting cold weather. Yeah. I think this weekend.
That's true. We have rain turning into snow, and then this weekend it's supposed to be the high of 39, low of 20-something. Oh, wow. So,
which will be nice for me at the end of the week, beginning of next week, because I've got some flying lessons lined up, and cold weather is better for flying.
Is it?
Did you know that?
No. Yeah. Hold on a minute. So you're telling me, because we're expecting like stormy week next week, and I go to Texas for a couple of days, and the forecast is kind of nasty. Are you telling me we're going to have a better time because there's cold air?
You're going to be flying where you're going?
Texas, yeah.
Well, it doesn't really matter when you fly on airliners because they all fly above the weather anyway.
Oh, that's true. But is the cold weather good for you while you're climbing? You know?
I guess.
What kind of science expert is this? We need a science check on aisle 4.
You want to be our airplane guy.
So strictly technically speaking, yeah, it'll be better for the climb, but you're going to be at that low altitude for such a little amount of time that it's not going to make that much of an impact.
Sure.
No, that's a good point. Well, I wish you the best as you climb those friendly skies and all that. But that's not what you brought today for science. What'd you bring?
You want to talk about spiders? Let's talk about spiders.
Okay. Brian, you like spiders, right?
I hate spiders with a passion, so this is great.
Yeah. Well, this is great because I'm going to tell you all about how spiders are smarter than you think they are.
Okay, good.
Oh, shit. Okay.
How smart are they? They don't run when my foot's over them.
Well, we're talking about black widows today.
Can't be that smart. Okay. If they're not running from Brian's foot, how smart can they be?
Yeah, how smart could they be?
Yep.
Keep it in my house.
So a lot of small creatures like insects, arachnids, they don't have very big brains, right? Because how could they?
Right.
And
I mean, just look at them. They're just these little tiny guys. How big could that brain be?
How big could their brain really be?
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Really? Come on. So how do they accomplish complex tasks, right? Like ants and spiders, they build very complex things, webs, entire ant colonies. They organize themselves when you have like bees and ants, they organize themselves really, really well. How do they accomplish those, types of tasks.
Right.
It's an interesting question to think about. And the typical explanation is that they do it through sort of like algorithmic processes in the brain, right? Like it seems complex, but it's not as complex as it might seem, because it's really just a simple set of rules and stimulus response, right? Like something happens and you just respond to it. And if you have a bunch of ants and they're all doing this, it can create sort of like emergent behavior out of a bunch of things doing this, right?
Right, right.
Spiders, you know, they might catch and capture prey, but really, aren't they just sitting on the edge of their web and just responding to a vibration, and then they jump to action and then just do what they're pre-programmed to do? There's no thought there. They just do it.
It right? feels instinctual. Sure. It feels like, I don't know, when your dog's ears perk up because they heard a cat or something. It's just what they do.
Right, right. They can't. It's just pre-wired programming in the brain, and there's not like complex thought that is being involved. No, that's higher level cognitive.
That's what we've all thought, right? That's what we've assumed. Right. But I have a feeling you're about to break a plate over our
heads. Feels like there's a butt coming.
Yeah.
Well, the scientists don't ever like to just sit by and say, "Oh, that's what it looks like." Okay, well then we're done. Just file that one away. Mm. So there's this scientist. His name's Clint Sergey at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and he just published some results of experiments that he did testing the memories of black widow spiders. And it turns out that they may have greater cognitive functioning than you might think, at least in terms of memory.
They're pretty good at calming the Hulk down. I've seen that before.
Black Widow. Yes, they are. So they can at least remember songs.
Down, big fella.
Big fella. Yeah. Calm down there, buddy. Yeah.
They can remember sequences of phrases. You're right.
Yeah. They're really good at saying, I don't. They're good at detecting when something's not a party.
When something feels right. like a party or not.
Yeah, yeah, whether it's a party yeah. or not, she'll know, you know. Are there male? I've never asked this.
Yeah, there are male black widows, yes.
But they don't have the huge butt and the nice big symbol in that, right?
Nope, they're brown. No. They're bulbous, but they're brown, and they don't have the hourglass.
And plus she eats
her. And they're not as poisonous, right? Isn't that the deal?
I think so. I'm certainly no black widow expert, but I do remember reading one time that a lot of the myths that we have, and I say myths, but a lot of the ideas we have about black widow spiders are actually not totally true, like how they all eat the male after mating. Uh-huh. Apparently that's not always true. And that they're super deadly. Apparently they're not all that deadly. They definitely hurt, and you probably need to see someone about getting bitten by one. But this is totally an aside, I guess. But they've apparently all the data that was collected about, you know, you get bit by a black widow and then you're going to die.
Yeah.
Very quickly, because they're very poisonous, very venomous. Apparently, after a review of that was done, that was all the result of the people who were getting bit by, like apparently black widow spiders don't like to bite people.
Okay.
They just want to stay away. They don't like to bite people, and they only bite when they feel like they're cornered or threatened and have no other recourse, right?
Okay.
And where they like to hang out is like dark, dank places.
Wood piles, garages, underneath yeah.
or
that CD inside, rack right there.
Or inside the business zone of an outhouse.
Oh, gosh.
So apparently...
business zone.
Apparently the people the who would get zone. Bit by black... Yeah, apparently the people who would get bit by black widow spiders... are guys who were going to the bathroom and they'd get bit on their junk and there would be a lot of blood flow apparently, which would spread the venom quickly to the rest of their body. And that's why all the data and statistics were that if you got bit by a black widow spider, you die.
Ugh.
But there are so many more cases of people just being bitten like on the arm in like normal circumstances and they don't die.
Some of them get powers and beat Dr. Octopus.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of spider. Do we know what kind of spider, Brian, that Spider-Man,
Spider-Man got bit by? Do we?
Oh, yeah, no. I'm sure at one point during the lore, they probably said what kind of spider it was. But it definitely was not a Black Widow or a, you know, probably just your, what they probably referred to as just a generic house spider or laboratory spider or something.
A lab spider.
A lab spider. You know, the famous lab spiders.
Lab spider.
Sure.
So, back to Black Widows in memory.
Sure.
So it's been known for a while that Black Widows can actually remember when they've caught prey. That was already known. It'll catch its prey. You know, it wraps it up in webbing and it'll come back for it sometime after. But it's been known that they can remember that, and it makes sense, right? Because a Black Widow, it takes energy to go after and capture prey. So it benefits a species, it benefits the spider to be able to remember, oh, I've recently caught some prey. I don't need to do that again for some time, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or at least I've caught a certain amount of prey. I don't need to do that for some time because I've got enough to survive right now.
Sure.
What Clint Sergey wanted to know was, how detailed is their memory? You know, how can they build mental representations of their webs, for example? Like they build the web, but do they have like a mental picture in their mind of what the web looks like?
Can they say, oh, I'm going to build the web, like the same web I built a few days ago, because that worked out really well for catching stuff.
Yeah, that's what I wonder.
Or even more so, can they remember, oh, I built the den over here.
Yeah,
uh-huh. And I built the
room is over here.
Yeah, yeah. The foyer is over here.
Yeah, it's where the bugs come in. So hold on a second. Remember that old thing where they gave cocaine to spiders and stuff, and then their webs were all jacked up.
Oh, and had them. Yeah, right.
Doesn't that lead them? Or doesn't that indicate that they do, in a way, have something set in their head, and we're altering it by introducing cocaine?
No, because you can just, but all that really shows us, if you just, I don't know the details about that, those experiments, but if we're just using the images of the webs as the data that was collected, then that could imply that they're just, that the drugs are just affecting the way that they move around.
Right. You know? Right.
You don't really know what that means unless you do some more detailed experiment. And I'm sure more detailed experimentation has been done. I just don't know what it was. But this one, like I said, Sergey wanted to know, does a spider have some sort of detailed memory of what's going on in their web and what's going on with prey that they catch?
Right.
So what it would do is he would present Black Widow spiders with dead insects in their prey, and then they'd take them away. They'd go and they'd wrap up the dead insects and leave them there. And then what he would do is, after they wrapped up the dead insect, he would then snip it off the web and take it away.
Okay.
So you know, the spider has gone, quote unquote captured their prey,
right?
And then it's gone.
They went out to go do some run some other errand.
And, yeah, exactly. Went to go pay the bills or something like that. And then now it's coming back for lunchtime. What does the spider do? Does the spider go back to the same place?
Does he put up his two front legs and go, what?
What happened?
To turn its little head back and forth a few times.
Yeah, scratch its chin. It's Black Widow spider
top
chin.
Of its head.
Yeah. So what he found was that, yes, the spiders would go back. The Black Widow spiders would go back to the part of the web where it caught the prey. It's not like the spider's just doing a... Because one thing you could think is maybe the spider's just very... Like, part of its behavior is... It remembers that it caught prey, and to find it later, it just does a systematic search of the web until it comes across it, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That would be a way to find the food that you caught without having to remember where it was,
right,
on the web. But he found that the spiders would go back to the specific location where the prey was captured. So that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Also, even more than that, when it would catch multiple prey, like when Sergey would offer multiple prey, some insects were bigger than the others, the Black Widow spiders would spend more time looking around, because it would go back to where it was, and it would, in a sense, scratch its head and look around, Brian, because it would spend time like looking around in that area, like. Hmm. Like, okay. Where is it?
Did it wiggle its way around to the other side of the web or down further or
yeah. Just in okay. the general yeah. area, it would look around to see if it was there, and it would spend more time looking around to see if it could find bigger insects that it had caught.
Mm.
So the bigger the insect was that is now missing, the longer the Black Widow spider would spend looking for it, as if it's like more concerned about that missing meal, right?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So that's really interesting. So you might wonder, like, who cares that we know this about spiders now? the interesting thing is that it's always been thought that non-vertebrate animals, you know what a vertebrate is?
Yeah, like a vertebrate is me and you. We got vertebrae. Non-vertebrate would be like a
jellyfish.
Jellyfish, yeah, that's a good one.
Snails,
beetles.
Yeah, exactly. It's a backbone, right? A vertebrate animal has a backbone, and
beetles are made of goo, like crabs. Beetles and crabs, they got goo in there that holds it all together. So, right. Like, you know, right? Am I have that right? That's non-vertebrate.
Yeah, exoskeleton.
Sure.
Yeah. Insects and arachnids are non. They're invertebrates. They're not vertebrates like us, but it's always been thought that vertebrate animals were the ones that had complex cognitive abilities and invertebrates didn't. And this implies that may not be necessarily true and helps to kind of further our nuance understanding of how other animals are able to think and how their brains work and how different kinds of brains can work because their brains are very different than ours and sure. stuff like that.
Sure, sure. Well, that's fascinating stuff. I don't know why spiders, as much as I disagree with where they are all the time, they fascinate me as a
you disagree yeah. with where they are.
Yeah, I don't like right. I don't like it.
I don't agree with you being in the living room. It's a
Have you tried having a discussion with the spiders?
You know, really, if I
yeah,
just
but
talk
they never
to the spider,
remember that we've talked about it.
Yeah. If I could just take a second and talk to them and let them know I'm with them. I'm here too.
We went over this yesterday. I moved your food.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
outside now.
Apparently, I just need to give him caffeine. My gosh, dude. Look what the
apparently
caffeine is.
Apparently so, yeah.
Yeah. This is even a worse one I found. Look at this thing. I'll put it in the Discord. You guys can see it. But it's like freaking. I mean, it sounds like the worst thing to give a spider is caffeine. Look at that.
Oh, wow.
I'm like kidding. It basically turns spiders into Halloween monsters is what it does.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because that's how we put fake webbing around on Halloween. Anyway. It's fascinating stuff. Bobby, as always, love having you on talking about these weird things and hope for more. In the meantime, you got a show that you do about science. What's going on that thing and what's going, you know,
yep.
what are you doing?
Our science show that me and my co-host Maura do is All Around Science. And we just had an episode that came out yesterday that talks about antibiotics and antibiotic resistance, because that's a big problem that scientists have been talking about for a while. And so we dug a little bit into it, of what causes antibiotic resistance and what really is the problem. So we talked about that.
Nice.
And check it out. All Around Science. We just talk about science stuff every week.
And it's wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you do that, whatever it is.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be the featured number one show on every service.
Splunker.
It will be if you make it happen.
Audio Plunk.
Remember Odeo? Remember when Jack, who made Twitter, was making Odeo before Twitter?
Odeo, sure. Yeah.
Then he gave up Odeo because Twitter took off? Yeah, remember those days? Kind of wish he'd made Odeo now. All right. Hey, well done, Bobby. It's always good to have you here. We'll see you soon. Bye. All right.
Yeah, Miss Jack.
Aw, Jack.
Can we get Jack back?
He had an argument with Musk on Twitter yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. It was like this argument about some feature they use, and he was like, we're renaming it, and he was like, I think that name's good. They were just having an argument about the name. I'm like, you guys, I don't want to hear your millionaire, billionaire conversations.
No kidding. Yeah.
Go somewhere else. All right, check this out. We got a few things coming up today at 3:30 Mountain Time. Play Retro. We're talking about the early 8-bit and 16-bit wrestling games. In fact, we're going to try to nail down the top five. So if you want to check that out, do. Even if you're not a wrestling fan, those games, I'm not a big wrestling guy, but I loved the games. And We'll talk about why that is. Like, why is it the games are cool to me, but the actual sport is not that big a deal? It's real to me, damn it. It's real to me. Anyway, there's also a brand new diary going up today, and I wanted to just tease a little bit something coming up Friday. I'm going to be sitting down with the great Chris Metzen for a long conversation. Probably put that on a few of the feeds so people can hear it wherever they're getting their shows.
Nice.
So if you miss hearing what Chris has to say, we will have things to say this week somewhere. It's definitely on Core, but it may be in other places as well. I'll let you guys know. That's it. Brian, you got anything else before we go?
There will be a soundography going up fairly soon. Might be today. I don't know. But we're finally getting ready for our next season, and that means it's time for our episodes on You Gotta Listen to This. This is where you are on one of these. This is where Hammond and I and special guests come on, force us to listen to an entire album, and talk about what we think. So those episodes are going to start dropping very soon.
Awesome. So check those out. I was on there and I loved it. It was a great time.
You was. Yeah. You were.
You was. I was.
You was.
Who did I do? I did.
You did. It was a
new wave thing, right?
It was
right?
Like a new age. Yeah. It was a new age new artist age. That surprised the crap out of us.
What's his name? It's. Jeez. I can't even remember my own damn pick.
I know.
But I love that music back in the day. It was an early 90s thing. Can't think of the guy's name. Anyway, it's good. And so are all the other episodes of that show, so do check it out. Also, if you're just sitting around on a couple of bucks a month going, I don't know what to do with these, well, I'd recommend sending them to us at patreon.com/TMS. Why, do you ask? Well, there's a good reason for everything, and today is no different. Be like Ron Powell, who's been with us since the beginning, and join us at patreon.com/TMS for pre-show content every day, couch parties on the weekend, art in the mail, other great monthly benefits. Oh, and you never want to hear another ad ever? Well, that's one way to do it. Patreon.com/TMS. Yeah. All right, Brian. Everything else over there is at frogpants.com/TMS, including quicktms.li, which is now there.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
Yep. So now you can go one place and find everything. All right, Brian, let's get out of here with a song. Do you have a song?
Yes, I do. And this request came in all caps, caps. So that should give you an idea who it came from.
My mom.
It says, "Hi, shite and bastard. It's just over 4 months since I was kindly freed from my cheating C bleep X. Not going to say that word, but it begins with a C. You might be able to guess what it is. It's also 4 months since I put an offer to buy my first house. Well, 4 months later, and today, if all goes well, I'll be moving into my house that I bought all by my damn self. But before I kicked that twat to the curb, I told him I'm taking the dog dumbass, so me, my hairy wiener, Forrest, and my vibrators could live happily ever after together." Hey, we're now entering the NSFW portion of TMS. So, yep.
If you're at work, here, welcome to Clare Town. It's Clare
right.
World.
Oh, that's true. In Ireland, it's pronounced twat, not twat. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Here in the U.S., it's pronounced twat, just to let you know.
Yeah.
I've supplied some suggestions you can pick a cover of, or just play something that's about boss-ass bitches that don't need no men, or about moving on to greater things that I can listen to while unpacking. Love the show, though. Claire. P.S. Just play me all the S's and F's you have. Wait. I'm sorry. What you just heard was, give me a lot of S's and F's. What I said was, give me all the S's and F's you have.
Wow.
Do you understand?
Yeah. We do get it. We get it.
We do get it. So one of the songs that Claire put on her list was a cover of Alanis Morissette's You Oughta Know. And I have a version by the Dan Band that does seem to have all the S's and F's in it that you could possibly want. However, it ends abruptly because they fade, like Dan Band usually does. They go into another song really quickly. And it's really short. It's like a minute long. So rather than that, let's go to... a geek troubadour, someone I consider a friend and who came and performed at my concert way back, so many years ago, back in 2008. In August 2008 at the Bally Casino Hotel in Las Vegas, I was joined on stage by one Jonathan Colton, who also does his own version of Alanis Morissette's You Oughta Know, making him one of two performers on stage that day who do covers of this very song, oddly enough.
Oh, weird. Was the other one
Richard Cheese also does a cover of You Oughta Know.
Okay, yeah. So no cameras and spit did also.
No cameras and spit. This version, spit, camera all you want. Share this on social media. Talk about how much you loved it because Jonathan Coulton understands social media. This is one that he didn't release on one of his thing a weeks. He just recorded and released it. And it's got a couple of the swears in it. Here is Jonathan Coulton and his version of You Oughta Know.
See you guys tomorrow.
I want you to know that I'm happy for you. I wish nothing but the best for you both. An older version of me, is she perverted like me? Would she go down on you in a theater? Does she speak eloquently? And would she have your baby? I'm sure she'd make a really excellent mother. 'Cause the love that you gave that we made wasn't able to make it enough for her to be open wide. No. Every time you speak her name, does she know how you told me you'd hold me until you died? Till you died, but you're still alive, and I'm here to remind you of the mess you left when you went away. It's not fair to deny me of the cross I bear that you gave to me.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
There aren't enough plugs.
That's true.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.